بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we finished going over the biography of the mother of the believers, Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha. And before that, we went through the life of Khadija radiallahu anha, the two most important women in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Today we move on to another of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And she is basically the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam married or lived with after Khadija radiallahu anha. And so she is Sauda bint Zam'a. Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu anha. So she is Sauda bint Zam'a ibn Qais al-Amiriyya al-Qurashiyya. And she is the first woman who Rasulullah ﷺ consummated his marriage with after Khadija radiallahu anha. Then the question is, what about Aisha radiallahu anha? When we spoke about Aisha, didn't we mention that, you know, she was the next wife of the Prophet ﷺ? So how do we understand this? Anyone? How is it that both of these women were the first ones that the Prophet ﷺ married after Khadija radiallahu anha? Basically, Aisha radiallahu anha was the first one whom the Prophet ﷺ married after Khadija in terms of entering into a marriage agreement, a nikah. But as we know, at the time, how old was she? She was 6, right? The Prophet ﷺ did not consummate that marriage until many years later, when she was 9. As for Sauda radiallahu anha, who we're going to talk about today, then the Prophet also married her after Khadija, and he consummated that marriage. He lived with her. Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu anha was born in Mecca, and she came from a prominent family of Quraysh. And she was married to one of her cousins, As-Sakran ibn Amr. She was married to Sakran ibn Amr when the Prophet ﷺ started preaching Islam. So both she and her husband accepted Islam early on. They were from among the first Muslims. Now, due to the persecution that the early Muslims were facing in Mecca, she left with her husband and her children for Al-Habasha, for Abyssinia, with the second wave of the Muhajirun. So there were two groups that had left for Abyssinia, and she left with the second. The second group had 83 men and 19 women. So Sauda and her husband, they had left for Abyssinia. Now, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu an, he narrates, he says, Sauda bint Zam'a was married to As-Sakran ibn Amr, the brother of Suhail ibn Amr. She once had a dream in which she saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam walking towards her until he placed his foot on her neck. She told her husband about the dream, and he responded by saying, by Allah, if your dream is true, I will definitely die, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will end up marrying you. So her husband interpreted that dream for her in this way. When she heard this, she said, you know, she said, no, that can't be true. Right? She said, that cannot be true. Then, on another night, Sauda radiallahu anha had a dream in which a moon had fallen from the sky while she was lying down. It fell on her, the moon. So she told her husband about the dream, and he said, by Allah, if your dream is true, I'm not going to remain alive that much longer, and you will soon marry someone after me. So from that day, her husband fell ill, and it wasn't long before he passed away. Now, one narration mentions that he passed away while he was there in Abyssinia, while another says that they had come back to Mecca, and he passed away shortly after that. Either way, Sauda radiallahu anha was now a widow. She was without a husband and she had children. And now it was the 10th year of the prophethood. And in this 10th year, we mentioned previously when we spoke about Khadija radiallahu anha, it was in this year that she passed away. Khadija radiallahu anha passed away in the 10th year of the Hijrah, of the prophethood. And so this was a very difficult time for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But as time passed, he needed to have a partner because he was all by himself. You know, not just without a wife, but also, you know, most of his children, as we know, he had daughters, and most of them were all married off. Pretty much all of them were all married off. They had their own homes, and here the Prophet ﷺ was all by himself. And so he needed to have a wife, someone with him in his life. So Khawla bint Hakim, she was a noble companion. She was the wife of a noble companion, Uthman ibn Mad'un. Not Uthman ibn Affan, the famous Khalifa, but Uthman ibn Mad'un. His wife, Khawla bint Hakim, and both of them had spent time in Abyssinia as well. So Khawla here, we could say she was a friend of Sauda. They had spent time together in Abyssinia. So Khawla comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the death of Khadija, and she says, O Messenger of Allah, will you not get married? So he asked, who should I marry? You know, who do you have in mind? So she said, if you wish, you can get married to a virgin, or if you wish, you can get married to a woman who was previously married, a Thayyib. So he asked, who do you have in mind? Who is the virgin who you have in mind? And she said, the daughter of the most beloved man to you, Aisha bint Abi Bakr. And then he asked, how about the Thayyib, the woman who was previously married? She said, Sauda bint Zam'ah. And she added, she believed in you and she followed you. You know, when you started your mission, when you started your da'wah, she was one of the first to believe in you and she followed you. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, then go and propose to both of them. Go and propose to both of them. So Khawla, she then went first to the home of Abu Bakr and proposed for Aisha radiallahu anha. And we previously mentioned the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marrying Aisha radiallahu anha. So this is how Aisha was the first to get married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Khadija, because Khawla first went to the home of Aisha. She spoke to Abu Bakr and he agreed, and the Prophet ﷺ went and married Aisha in terms of the nikah. Then Khawla, she went to her friend Sauda, and she goes to her house and she finds her and she says, I give you the glad tidings of good and blessings that is going to come in your life. So Sauda asked, what is that? She said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has sent me to propose to you for him. So what was her reaction? She said, I wish. You know, you've truly brought me good news, and I would love to, you know, accept this. But then she said, Go to my father and mention it to him. And so here we can see that, you know, even in those early days of Islam, we have this custom of, you know, a woman going through her wali to get married and getting the approval of her father. And her father was a very old man, and at the time he was not even Muslim. He was not even Muslim. So now Khawla, she goes to the father of Sauda, Zam'a, his name was Zam'a, and she says, Muhammad ibn Abdullah has sent me to propose for your daughter Sauda. What was his reaction? He said, what a noble match. You know, what a great match that is. You know, even though he was not a Muslim, but he recognized the virtue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you know, from among the noble men of his people. And, you know, he was known for his noble character and everything before his Islam. Before he brought Islam, before he started preaching Islam. And even after he would preach Islam, and even after, you know, all the opposition from his people and the, you know, the enmity and everything they did to him, but yet they still recognized his virtue and how special he was. Then he asked, the father of Sauda asked Khawla, he said, what does your friend think? Meaning, what does Sauda think about this? Khawla said she agrees. She's happy with it. So he asked Khawla to go and call her. When she came, he said to his daughter, Muhammad ibn Abdullah has sent for proposing you in marriage, and he is a noble match. Shall I marry you to him? She said, yes. So then he said to Khawla, go and call Muhammad so we can conclude this marriage. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and that was how the marriage was conducted with Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu anha. And this was in Ramadan of the 10th year of the prophethood. Ramadan of the 10th year of the prophethood. Now, another narration of the story mentions that initially, Sauda was hesitant to accept the offer. And this was because she already had 5 children, and she was afraid that her children would disturb the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? She thought that, you know, it would be a burden on him, and you know, he has an important mission that he needs to fulfill, and you know, I'll be a burden on him with my children. So she mentioned this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to her, you know, trying to convince her that, you know, that's not a big deal. He said to her, the best women ever to have ridden the backs of camels are the virtuous women of Quraysh, who are the most affectionate towards small children and the most excellent in doing good deeds to their husbands when they are wealthy. So here, the Prophet ﷺ was basically saying that you are a woman from Quraysh, and the women of Quraysh are known for fulfilling the rights of their husbands as well as their children. Now, Sauda radiallahu anha, she had 2 brothers. She had 2 brothers. One of them had become a Muslim and also migrated with them. And the other had not become a Muslim initially. His name was Abd ibn Zam'a. And at the time of the marriage, he had still not accepted Islam, and he heard about this marriage. And so he became furious. He was not happy. And he started throwing dust on his head, you know, to show his frustration. So later on, he became Muslim. And he would say, I was foolish the day I threw dust on my head for the Prophet ﷺ marrying Sauda. And so he was expressing regret for having objected to this marriage, which in reality should have been an honor for him, right? Here is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marrying my sister. That should be an honor for me. But obviously, because he was a kafir and he had enmity for the Muslims and for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reacted that way initially. But then later, when he became a Muslim, he regretted what he had done. Now, the age of Sauda radiallahu anha at the time of the marriage was around 55. While Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was how old? How old was he? We're talking about 10 years of being a prophet. How old would he be? I couldn't hear that. 50, yes. So the Prophet ﷺ was around 50 years old, while Sauda was around 55. And the Prophet ﷺ consummated the marriage with her immediately and lived with her in Mecca with her 5 children until the hijrah to Medina. So she was the only wife of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca after Khadija radiallahu anha, who the Prophet ﷺ spent time with. And then when it came time for the hijrah to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ ordered Zayd ibn Haritha and Abu Rafi' al-Ansari to take his family to Medina. As we know, the Prophet ﷺ made his way to Medina after all the Muslims had left. And he left on his own with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he gave instructions to these two companions to take his family. And so they took Sauda with her children and Fatima and Kulthum, the two daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, and Ayman. And we're going to come to talk later on about Ayman, who she was, and Usama ibn Zayd. So this was the household of the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca at the time of the Hijrah. And so after the Hijrah, for about a year in Medina, again, she was by herself with the Prophet ﷺ. And then it was in the second year of the Hijrah that the Prophet ﷺ consummated his marriage with Aisha radiallahu anha. And then after that, the other wives over the years started to come into his life. Now, Sauda radiallahu anha was a very special woman. Even though we don't hear much about her, however, among her virtues, among her, you know, special, unique characteristics, was that she was known for having a humorous nature. She would bring happiness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and make him smile and make him to laugh. We have to understand when she came into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at a time when he was down, right? That 10th year of the prophethood was known as Aam al-Huzn, the year of grief. You had his wife, his beloved wife Khadija, who passed away, you know, the mother of all of his daughters, and, you know, his support from the beginning of the prophethood. She passed away, and that was shortly after his uncle, Abu Talib, who was also a big support for him, he had also passed away. And in that same year, when the Prophet ﷺ had almost given up on the people of Mecca, he said, let me go elsewhere, maybe I can find followers elsewhere. So he went to Ta'if, which was close to Mecca, and he was driven out of that city. He was driven out of Ta'if by the people there. So it was a very, very bad year for him. So now you have this woman, Sauda, who comes into his life. And, you know, she had that very jolly nature where she would like to, you know, bring happiness to the Prophet ﷺ, make him smile, make him laugh. And, you know, she would joke a lot with the Prophet ﷺ. But obviously, when the Prophet ﷺ would joke or when he would laugh, it was within the guidelines that he has taught us, right? Not over excessively joking, not joking by making up stories or lying. Also, Aisha radiallahu anha tells us that I never saw the Messenger of Allah laugh fully to such an extent that I could see his tonsils, meaning, you know, he wouldn't open up his mouth laughing, you know, in that sense. But rather, he would smile, or, you know, when he would be very happy, you could see his teeth. You know, this is what has been mentioned by various companions. So an example of her humorous nature. One night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed Qiyam al-Layl with Sauda praying behind him. And as was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would pray very long. His Qiyam al-Layl would be very long. You know, once Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was one of the young companions, and he was one of the early Muslims as well, he says he prayed Qiyam with the Prophet ﷺ one night, and it was so long that he says he was about to give up and just sit down and leave the Prophet ﷺ standing by himself. So anyways, after the Prophet ﷺ finished the Salah, Sauda said to him, O Messenger of Allah, I prayed behind you tonight, and your ruku' was so long that I had to hold onto my nose because I was afraid that I was going to bleed, that, you know, my nose would bleed. So she was just joking to let the Prophet ﷺ know that his salah was very long. You know, it was too long for her. And then the Prophet ﷺ smiled. He smiled when he heard this. And so this is, you know, a very, very good characteristic of a righteous wife, that she jokes around with her husband from time to time, bringing a happy, jolly atmosphere to the home and to the relationship, not always, you know, being serious or not complaining. You know, notice how Sauda radiallahu anha, although she was agitated by how long the Prophet ﷺ prayed, but she did not complain. You know, right after Salah, she didn't say, "O Messenger of Allah, you know, that was long, that was too long for me." She didn't complain. Instead, she did it in a way that, you know, brought a smile to his face. And, you know, this is something we should learn from these women, the best of the women of this ummah. In another incident, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once with both Sauda and Aisha. And Aisha radiallahu anha is the one who narrates this story. Aisha, she says, "I brought a dish that was known as khazira. It was like a dish of porridge. She says, I had prepared it for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I had come and I saw Sauda there, and I said to Sauda, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting between me and her, I said to Sauda, eat. She refused. So I said, you have to eat, otherwise I'm going to smear your face with it. So she still refused. Aisha radiallahu anha says, so I put my hand in the porridge and I smeared her face with it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed, and with his hand he signaled for her, for Sauda, to do the same to me. So Sauda, she took some of it, smeared my face with it, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed again. Then guess who shows up? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He came, he passed by, and he was calling out. And when the Prophet heard Umar radiallahu anhu, he was afraid he would come in. So he told the two of them, get up and wash your faces. Get up and wash your faces. Aisha radiallahu anha says, you know, since that day, I have always held a deep respect and awe for Umar ibn al-Khattab because of the respect and the awe that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for him. And so we see from this story that, you know, Umar radiallahu anhu, as we know from his life, he was a very serious man. He was very straightforward. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, used to treat him in that same manner. But this story shows us the playful and lighthearted moments between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wives, and it reflects the affectionous and harmonious nature of their relationships, as well as the mutual respect that existed between them. There was also another story similar to this. But here we have two of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ who, knowing Sauda's nature, they also, you know, would take opportunities to joke with her. So on one occasion, it was Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anhuma. They came to her and they tried to make her believe that the Dajjal had appeared. That الدجال had emerged. You know, they came to her, to Sauda رضي الله عنها, and said, the Dajjal has come. So Sauda, she was terrified by this. She took it seriously, and then she rushed to hide. And she found there was like a room or a house where they used to light fires. It was a dirty room, and she went and she hid there. So Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu anha, they laughed at her reaction. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and saw them laughing, he asked, what is the matter with the two of you? They told him about what happened with Sauda. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Sauda, and when she saw him, she asked, O Messenger of Allah, has the Dajjal emerged? He replied, no, he has not, but he is coming soon. And, you know, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, that Dajjal is coming very, very soon. And, you know, we shouldn't think that, you know, the Dajjal is very far off, but he is coming very soon. Anyways, once she was reassured, Sauda radiallahu anha, she came out from the place she was hiding, and she brushed off spider webs. So, you know, this was like a dirty room. It was a place where they used to light fires, an abandoned room or house. And she was brushing off spider webs from herself. So this is what Sauda radiallahu anha was known for. She was also known for her generosity. One day, in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he was a khalifa, he sent a bunch of dirhams. And dirhams are basically gold coins. He sent them to Sauda. And he would do this, you know, after the death of the Prophet him being the head of the state, he used to take good care of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making sure they had what they needed, etc. So he sent a bunch of dirhams for Sauda. She asked, what is this? She was told that these are dirhams that have been sent for her from Umar. She took them and she distributed all of them to the poor and the needy. And she didn't keep anything for herself. But what is interesting about Sauda radiallahu anha is that she was not only generous with her wealth, but she was also generous with something else. And that was her marital rights. And we spoke about this last week when we spoke about Aisha radiallahu anha. While the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, we said that Sauda radiallahu anha was his only wife. But after the Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started marrying other women. And some of these women were younger and more beautiful than she was. And Sauda radiallahu anha, she was described as being tall and having a large figure. So now she was afraid that perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would no longer be interested in her and would perhaps divorce her. So she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, I give up my night for Aisha. I give up my night for Aisha. As we know, you know, Islam teaches us that we have to equally distribute the time. The man, if he has more than one wife, he has to equally distribute the time that he spends with them. And basically, each wife had a night. And Sauda came here, and she gave up what exclusively belonged to her, to Aisha radiallahu anha, because she knew how much Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Aisha. And so she did it for two reasons. She did it for two reasons. Number one, to make Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy and pleased. And so she didn't give up her day to just any of his other wives, right? but specifically to the most beloved to him. Why? Because she wants him to be happy. And number two, she did it in order to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the akhirah. And so she sacrificed her right out of fear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would divorce her. And then she would come on the day of judgment without the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as her husband. So she would rather give up her right of one night for an eternity with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in exchange for living forever with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. And so this shows us the level of her iman and her preference of the akhirah over the dunya. Her preference of the akhirah over the dunya. You know, if it was one of us, we would never do such a thing, right? Because most of us, we are attached more to the dunya than the akhirah. And we don't want to let go what we have in the dunya. But again, this is, you know, a huge lesson we should learn from the life of Sauda radiallahu anha. And this is what we notice among all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, male or female. We find this quality among pretty much all of them. How they were willing to sacrifice what they had in the dunya for what is with Allah in the akhirah. According to a narration by Ibn Abbas, he says that Sauda feared that the Prophet ﷺ might divorce her. So she approached him and said, "O Messenger of Allah, do not divorce me and give my day to Aisha." The Prophet ﷺ accepted her request and did so. Then the following verse was revealed. The following verse from Surah An-Nisa was revealed. وَإِنِ امْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. This is verse 128 of Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a woman fears indifference or neglect from her husband, she's afraid that her husband, you know, is no longer interested in her, Allah says there is no blame on either of them to seek a fair settlement, sulh. And Allah says seeking a settlement is best. To reconcile, to come to an agreement, is better than a divorce, right? So Ibn Abbas is saying that this is why this ayah was revealed. This is why this ayah was revealed, talking about Sauda radiallahu anha and what she did. In one narration, it mentions that the Prophet ﷺ did actually divorce her. So she came to him and said, "O Messenger of Allah, I have no interest in men." Meaning, if the reason you divorce me is because you fear that you are not fulfilling my desire for intimacy, and that, you know, there are other men who can fulfill that, and that's why you're divorcing me, so that, you know, some other man can marry me, then I am telling you that I have no interest in that. Then she said, "But rather I want to be resurrected among your wives on the day of judgment." So she was saying to the Prophet ﷺ that, you know, if you're not interested in me, then at least keep me as your wife. You know, and I'm willing to give up, you know, my night, my day with you. But as long as I can remain your wife so that I could be your wife in the akhirah. And then she said, "So I ask you by the one who revealed the book to you, did you divorce me because I did something you didn't like?" He said, "No." She said, "Then I ask you by Allah to take me back." So Rasulullah ﷺ took her back. And then she said that she would give up her day for to Aisha radiallahu anha. Now, another verse that is said to have been revealed regarding Sauda radiallahu anha is a very, very important ayah in the Quran, and that is the ayah of hijab, the verse commanding the hijab. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, she says the wives of the Prophet ﷺ used to go to an open place near Baqi', the graveyard Baqi', to answer the call of nature at night. So, you know, they did not have, you know, washrooms and toilets. And, you know, the women would go in groups in the evening when it's dark to an open area outside the city. So, Umar, Aisha says, Umar radiallahu an used to say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, cover your wives, let them be veiled, let them to cover themselves, right? So until now, the women were not required to wear the hijab. And Umar radiallahu an, he wanted that. You know, he wanted that, you know, at least the wives of the Prophet ﷺ should be covered. You know, look at how much he cared for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, that he doesn't want, you know, other men to be looking at them, etc. So, what was the response of the Prophet ﷺ? He said no. You know, he didn't command his women to do so. So one night, Sauda bint Zam'a, she went out. In the evening, it was around Isha time, and Aisha says she was a tall woman. She was a tall woman. So Umar saw her. Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw her, and he said to her, "O Sauda, I have recognized you. O Sauda, I know who you are." Right? Because it's dark, it's nighttime, but because of her figure, she was easily recognized by Umar radiallahu anhu. And why did he say this? He said this because he was hoping that, you know, ayat of hijab would be revealed. You know, he wanted this to reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, you know, I have recognized Sauda, right? So that's why he said that. And guess what? Aisha radiallahu anha says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of hijab soon after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, and this is verse 59, Ya ayyuhan nabiyu qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minina yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. Thalika adna an yu'rafna fala yu'zayn. O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the believing women that they should cover themselves with jilbabs. That is better for them so that they are not recognized and thus they are not harmed. And by the way, this is one of the many times that the opinion of Umar radiallahu anhu would be backed by revelation from Allah. This was not the first time. There are many other examples of how Umar radiallahu an, he would have a certain opinion in a certain matter. And, you know, the Prophet ﷺ would disagree. And then Allah would send an ayah supporting the opinion of Umar radiallahu an. And this is one example of that. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that if there was to be a prophet after me, it would be Umar. But as we know, there is no prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, among the virtues of Sauda radiallahu anha is that she was present with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the battle of Khaybar. And so it seems that, you know, it was, you know, basically the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he used to go on a journey, as Aisha radiallahu anha tells us, that whenever he would go on a journey, he would draw lots, between his wives. So he wouldn't just always take, for example, Aisha. He would be fair, but obviously sometimes he can't take all of his wives. So he would do a draw, and whoever's name comes out, that's who would go with him. So it seems that Sauda radiallahu anha, she was lucky to go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this journey to Khaybar. And this particular battle brought in a lot of wealth. The Muslims were victorious, and Khaybar was a rich place. So basically, the Jews of Khaybar, they had amassed wealth, and you know, they had their farms. So the spoils from Khaybar became a huge source of revenue for the Prophet ﷺ and for the Muslims. And prior to this, we know that the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, they lived in poverty. But now, with the victory in Khaybar, they had become rich. So since Sauda was present, the Prophet ﷺ gave her a share of the spoils. He gave her 80 wisq of dates and 20 wisq of wheat. A wisq is a measurement that is estimated to weigh about 130 kilograms. So one wisq is supposed to be around 130 kilograms. So he gave her 80 of those in dates. So that, you know, 80 times 130 is, you know, more than 10,000 kilograms of dates. And 20 wisq of wheat. So something like, you know, 2,600 kilograms of wheat. So obviously it was a huge amount. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ gave to Sauda radiallahu anha. Now, in the 10th year of the Hijrah, two years before the Prophet ﷺ passed away, or a year before the Prophet ﷺ passed away, or even less than a year, the Prophet ﷺ went on the farewell Hajj. And he took his wives with him. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, she narrates that we got to al-Muzdalifa. So when you go for Hajj, there is the day of Arafah. You spend time in the plains of Arafah. And then once the sun sets on that day, everyone makes their way to an open area called Muzdalifa, which is not too far from Mina. And you're supposed to spend the night there at Muzdalifa. And then the next morning, everyone basically moves on to Mina, where they stone the pillars and then they go to Mecca for Tawaf. The next day is basically, it is the day of Eid for us, and it is the most busiest day for the people who go for Hajj. So Aisha says, we got down at Muzdalifa, and Sauda came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked permission to leave early before the rush of the people. Meaning, she wanted to leave early onwards to Mina, instead of spending the entire night in Muzdalifa. Aisha says, and she was a heavy and slow woman, and so the Prophet ﷺ gave her permission. So she departed before the rush of the people. Aisha says, we stayed on in Muzdalifa until Fajr, and then we prayed Fajr, and then after that we set out with the Prophet ﷺ. She says, and I suffered so much that I wish I had taken that permission of Rasulullah ﷺ as Sauda had done. And that would have been more dearer to me than any other joy. So basically, here, Aisha radiallahu anha is saying that she regrets not having sought permission to leave early with Sauda. Because, as you know, I mean, for those who have gone for Hajj, when everyone is rushing at the same time, leaving Muzdalifah, it's very busy. And so Sauda radiallahu anha, she was smart, very intelligent, and she knew that, you know, she's very slow. She's an elder woman. By now we could say she's well in her 60s. And so, you know, she had that privilege of leaving early. And from this hadith, the scholars say that although spending the night in Muzdalifah is mandatory, it is okay for women, children, elderly, and others who need to leave early, for them to leave early. Now, due to how difficult this Hajj was for Sauda radiallahu anha, she did not leave after that to travel anywhere after returning to Medina or to perform another Hajj. She just stayed at home until she passed away. Unlike the other wives of the Prophet ﷺ, except for Zainab bint Jahsh. So Sauda and Zainab bint Jahsh, they never made Hajj after that. The other wives, the four Khulafa after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, they would take the wives of the Prophet ﷺ for Hajj, and they would facilitate it for them after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Sauda says that after making Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's it. You know, basically, she was saying, you know, it was a very difficult Hajj, and she is happy with having made Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sauda radiallahu anha, she went on to live long after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. However, unlike Aisha radiallahu anha, she did not narrate that many ahadith. So although she lived long after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, people wouldn't come to her for narrating ahadith like they would go to Aisha. We spoke about Aisha radiallahu anha last week, and how she is among the top narrators of hadith, having narrated so many ahadith, and this is because, you know, she would devote her time for that. It is mentioned that Sauda radiallahu anha has only narrated some five ahadith. Only some five ahadith have been narrated by Sauda. Sauda radiallahu anha, she eventually passed away. Some estimates mention that she passed away at the end of the Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, while others say that it was in the time of Muawiyah when he was Khalifa, and that is after Ali radiallahu anhu and after Al-Hasan. And Allah knows best. So this is the life of Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers. May Allah be pleased with her and, you know, accept her sacrifices and grant her the highest level in Jannah. Inshallah, next week we'll continue our series, moving on to another very, very important Sahabiya and mother of the believers, and that is Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an. So we'll conclude here, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa sallillahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.